Hello. Before we jump into the show, we need to shout out our awesome new sponsor, Marquee TV.
Man, I was so excited when we got the news about the sponsor. You all might remember from a few weeks ago that I talked about my new Shakespeare project where I'm learning everything I can about Macbeth.
It felt like we said the name Shakespeare out loud and the Marquee people appeared and said, "We gotcha."
It really did.
Yeah.
In case you're not familiar, Marquee TV is a streaming service. They have theater, ballet, opera, documentaries. There's a bunch of behind-the-scenes content of productions. Basically, it's a fun way to nerd out about the arts.
Yeah, it's a streaming service that will take you to the best theaters in the world from the comfort of your own sofa.
I've already added so many things to our watch list. Did you know there's a ballet based on the works of Beatrix Potter?
I did. They've got a little preview video of somebody dancing around in a rabbit costume.
Peter Rabbit doing ballet. I also added a few hip-hop dance shows just to balance out the dancing bunnies.
Yeah, hip-hopera. That's what they call it.
They do. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Mozart's Requiem from the London Philharmonic Orchestra and a bunch of Shakespeare plays, including Richard II, starring my pretend best friend, David Tennant.
And Judi Dench talking about her long relationship with Shakespeare in a master class.
Yeah, I love Judi Dench.
Sure.
But David Tennant.
Yeah, that's quite a battle there.
Okay, there's a special deal for our listeners. Marquee TV is offering 3 months of their service for 99 cents. You get 3 months of all of this good stuff for 99 cents with the code SSOP.
That cost seems absurdly low to me. Like, first, I expected it to be much higher given the quality of the content, but also 99 cents. You can't park next to a theater for 99 cents.
Accurate. Also, if you watch Marquee TV, you get to see these shows maybe wearing your pajamas and hanging out with your cat or your dog.
Yeah. It's a good way to sort of indulge your own curiosity. You can see all the performances of Hamlet, or maybe the first 15 minutes of all of the performances of Hamlet, and you don't have to rope your friends and family into all of that.
Or you could watch Richard II over and over and over and over.
What's the best angle for David Tennant in Richard II?
Trick question. All of them. Anyway, you definitely need to explore the website because there is a ton of really fun, fascinating, engaging stuff on there. I went in specifically looking for Shakespeare, and I found a ton of other things I wanted to watch.
Yeah. You can keep up with what they're doing on social media at Marquee Arts TV. You can visit their website at marquee.tv. That's marquee.tv to get 3 months of their service for just 99 cents with the promo code SSOP. Bring the arts home with Marquee TV. And now the show.
Coming up, an unusual celebrity memoir.
A favorite author looks at the parallels between now and 5 months in 1860.
Plus, our distraction of the week. I'm Mel.
I'm Dave. This is the Library of Lost Time.
I'm firmly on Team Judi Dench.
Sure.
So I'm loving the new book, Shakespeare, The Man Who Pays the Rent. It's a mashup of personal stories from Dame Judi Dench, blended with her insights from embodying iconic Shakespeare roles as an actress.
That sounds really nice.
The actor Brendan O'Hay conducted interviews with her over the course of 4 years. And they didn't set out to make a book. The plan was to record her talking about her Shakespeare roles and then put the tapes into the Globe Theater archive in case someone wanted them later. And then they kind of realized what a treasure this was.
Right.
And decided to make it into a book. The reason it's called Shakespeare, The Man Who Pays the Rent is because that's how Dame Judi and her husband referred to Shakespeare in the 1970s when they did play after play for the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Sure, yeah.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
The book's structure is really cool, too. Each chapter is her recollections about one play. So you've got Macbeth, Hamlet, Twelfth Night. There are 20 of them. She also talks about actorly things like the role of the audience and rehearsals and Stratford-on-Avon. And it's all presented in a Q&A format. So it's really easy to dip in and out. You can read a chapter when you're in the mood.
All right.
I'm imagining that it feels a lot like sitting at a pub with Judi Dench and having her kind of holding court with a pint and telling stories.
That would be a fantastic experience.
Yeah, definitely sign me up for that.
Yeah.
The first chapter is about playing Lady Macbeth. in a theater company that went to West Africa in 1963. I'm going to read a little bit. And if you know Judi Dench's voice and accent, you can hear her saying these words. It is a delight. Here we go. We took the production to Ghana, Sierra Leone, and Nigeria. Peter Brook maintained that his was the first company to tour West Africa, but in actual fact, it was ours. The audiences were wonderful, very vociferous. In the sleepwalking scene, a woman shouted out, "Oh my God, she's washing her hands and there's no basin." And they loved the rhymes. They found them hilarious. The Thane of Fife had a wife, got a belter. They'd yell, "Say that bit again." But it's not all laughs. She also shares her deep understanding of Shakespeare. There's a bit where she explains the scene in which Lady Macbeth reads a letter that she's received from her husband. This is what she says. "What's important is that you establish the couple's passion for each other. A key line is when Macbeth refers to his wife as my dearest partner of greatness. At a time when women were perhaps not considered so equal, that's a real clue to their relationship."
So she's kind of taking you on a deep dive of the text itself, too.
Yes, the way they did the interviews was that Brendan O'Hay would read a scene from the play, and then she would just riff on what came to mind.
Wow.
He said there were also times when she would just recite full passages from Shakespeare out of memory.
Sure.
That it was just an amazing experience having these conversations with her. This book is an irresistible combination of dishy behind-the-scenes details and insights that make Shakespeare feel a lot more accessible. It's what I wish classes on the Bard would be.
Yeah.
Kind of fun and fast and incisive, reflecting on the humanity that I think sometimes you don't necessarily pick up on, even though everyone says Shakespeare is about the human experience.
Yeah.
Judi Dench talking about it makes that really come to life. It's Shakespeare, The Man Who Pays the Rent by Judi Dench and Brendan O'Hay, and it's out now.
Eric Larson is one of my favorite writers. He's the author of The Devil in the White City, about the darkness and light of the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago. He also wrote The Splendid and the Vile, about Winston Churchill's first year as Prime Minister of Britain and the bombing of London.
I also really like his books In the Garden of Beasts, which is a World War II Nazi story, and Deadwake, the one about the Lusitania.
Yeah.
That one made me cry a little bit.
Yeah. He has an almost shocking ability to take primary research and turn it into smooth dialogue and narrative. Like, it's magic.
I wish he could write books about everything in history.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like the history teacher I wish I'd had.
Yeah.
The one who sort of points up that history is about people and their strengths and their imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
His new book comes out Tuesday.
I didn't know that.
Yep. It's called The Demon of Unrest, a saga of hubris, heartbreak, and heroism at the dawn of the Civil War. Once again, he's telling a big story by focusing on a few specific people and a tight time frame. This time, it's Abraham Lincoln and the 5 months between when he was elected president and the beginning of the Civil War. Larson is telling the story of a nation tearing itself in two. Lincoln wrote that the trials of those 5 months, quote, were so great that could I have anticipated them, I would not have believed it possible to survive them.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It was an incredibly dynamic and complex time in the U.S. and not a little like our own.
Mm-hmm.
Larson starts his new book by writing, "I was well into my research on the saga of Fort Sumter and the advent of the American Civil War when the events of January 6th, 2021 took place." I am always interested in what Eric Larson has to say. This seems like a good time to hear this story. The book is called The Demon of Unrest, and it's out on Tuesday. And now our distraction of the week. I have a complicated relationship with Spotify. On one hand, I am very grateful to have access to almost all the music I have ever heard. It is a fantastic trick, literally awesome that they can do that. And every time I want to listen to some song I haven't thought about in a while, it's there. If I want to explore a new artist, here's their catalog. I can and have entertained myself for hours by listening to different artists perform one of the classics. So Lenny Welch still does the best version of Since I Fell for You. You. But also Mavis Staples. You took my love and now you go. Oh. Or maybe Fontella Bass. Baby, since I feel
free. Fontella Bass is a fantastic name.
Yeah, it is. I don't love the stories about musicians getting 6/10 of a cent per play.
Nope.
Or less, or sometimes nothing at all. That doesn't feel great. And also, I feel that Spotify is sometimes rude to me. in two different ways. So first, Spotify is onto me being old.
Yeah.
Its algorithm has decided that I'm in my 50s, so I don't want to hear any music produced after about 1987. Mm-hmm. Left to its own, Spotify wants me to listen to artists like Dire Straits and Elvis Costello and Tom Petty, and that's it. And while I do like that music, I am more complex than that, Spotify. I like music from the 90s and occasionally something from this century, and every once in a while, I like a song I haven't heard before. And secondly, there's a playlist called Discover Weekly that Spotify generates, quote, just for me, it says. And from the sound of it, it's supposed to be Spotify's way of getting new music into my ears. So discover this. But every time I look at that list, it feels like Spotify is kind of mocking me. It's like...
I love how personally you take Spotify.
I do. It's Spotify's like, hey, have you ever heard this song, Footloose? Yes, Spotify, I have heard Footloose. I am a human on Earth, and I have heard Footloose.
I've been to a wedding.
And then Spotify says, oh, well, how about this country love song, Achy Breaky Heart?
No, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God, Spotify, what is it that you don't think I've heard Achy Breaky Heart, or you think I would like Achy Breaky Heart?
I mean, I do see now why you're taking it personally.
Both of them are a little hurtful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, yes, Spotify, I'm familiar with the works of Kenny Loggins and Billy Ray Cyrus, and there's a reason you haven't seen me play their songs, and it's not ignorance. And when you do that, Spotify, it makes me feel like one of us needs to pay a little bit more attention to our relationship. You're doing fine. I'm doing fine. I just don't know about us. So, I found a new place to look for new music, and I couldn't be happier about that.
Does that mean that we're just going to get a record player and a stack of vinyl now? Please say yes.
Let's do that. The new place to look for music is called SimilarSongsFinder.com. You go to that URL, you drop in a song you like, and it comes back with about 50 songs that it thinks are similar. It shows you cover art, and there's a button for sampling the song and another that links to Spotify. The suggestions are pretty good, and there's a lot of them. For me, it works better for artists I don't know that well. So, for instance, I like the songs I've heard from Sia, but I'm not deep into her catalog or anything. And I put in Chandelier, and now I'm looking at a couple of dozen artists with songs that have sort of a similar up-tempo, poppy vibe. Adele and Bruno Mars comes up, but so do Tate McRae and 21 Pilots. I tried it with Frank Turner. He's an artist who is somewhere in the earnest punk songwriter world, and now I've got a dozen bands that might share the stage with him. I tried it with Nat King Cole, and it pointed to Dionne Warwick and Jackie Wilson, but it also grabbed Pink Martini and Jason Mraz, all of whom would make solid additions to a Sunday morning playlist.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. Plus, it's just fun. You pop in a song you like, flip some buttons, and see what comes out the other side. I've spent way too much time with it already, and I look forward to playing with it some more. It's free and, at the moment, ad-free. So if you're looking for some new music, check it out. It's SimilarSongsFinder.com.
Visit StrongSenseOfPlace.com/library for more on the books we talked about and the link to
SimilarSongsFinder.com. Thanks for joining us in the Library of Lost Time. Remember to visit your local library and your independent bookstore to lose some time yourself.
Stay curious. We'll talk to you soon.